I'm Peter Kirk from Panama Wedding.
Let's see. Classically trained. Oyster Bay. Now, is Oyster Bay, is that Billy Joel territory officially? It's kind of adjunct Billy Joel territory, right?
Well, I think it was a source of inspiration for him growing up. Oyster Bay, like, on Long Island is like the North Shore, which, like, people associate with, like, wealth and, like, the Gold Coast. And, you know, I don't necessarily come from that, but, like, I think Billy Joel as a kid looked up to like, you know, that part of Long Island. And, you know, now he lives in like a mega mansion in Oyster Bay now at Center Island. So I don't think he's from there, but he lives there now.
Classically trained is always, you know, that's always in the quotes, right? And musicians these days only, they either wear two badges, classically trained or picked up a guitar and learned it.
The more tools you have to analyze and understand music, you know, are always helpful. I mean, I've met musicians who, you know, are not classically trained, have no training, but just have an extremely natural ability to make music. You know, I think for me, I was definitely sort of in both categories. I was someone who sort of just picked up the guitar on my own and basically taught myself, but I also took piano lessons down the road for me and a local teacher. So I kind of fall in both categories a bit.
I'm going to just do this in the full announcer voice. And it doesn't matter who wrote this. Effervescent vocals and opulent synths. Not even easy to say. But I just witnessed a sound check. And one of the things that's fun for me is I'm already hearing, you know, at least one or two songs that I haven't heard already.
Well, I think, you know, when you have a song out and you have one song out, you're largely defined by that one song. But I think that fundamentally there are quality to all my songs that I think listeners will be able to eventually identify with. But we don't look at all the people as sort of a paradigm or sort of, you know, sort of model to shape all the other songs. I think we definitely want to have a cohesive aesthetic across, you know, everything that I do. But I think listeners are going to be excited to hear songs that have a bit more of a kind of urban leaning influence, and then there are other songs that are a bit darker and have a, you know, sort of rockier aspect to them. And then there's other songs that are much, much lighter than all the people that have lighter guitars and just have a more airy aesthetic in general. So I think, you know, everything you said about opulent synths and effervescent vocals or whatever, effervescent? I don't even know.
Yeah.
Really, we're stretching our lexicons here. But, you know, those are just sort of like, you know, adjectives, but I don't know, really have any actual meaning, yeah, have any real meaning to the songs, but certainly the next songs that will come out will certainly be a bit diverse.
Again, the way the story is written now, it says that you moved to a studio in Midtown Manhattan. Now, was that an apartment or a recording studio?
It's actually a recording studio somewhere in the summer, I think, of 2008 or 2009. For many years, have been sort of a hobbyist in terms of been a hobbyist of sort of home recording and production, and it never really went beyond my bedroom or my friends' bedrooms. And somewhere in the summer of like 2009 or so, a buddy of mine was very serious about starting his own sort of business as being an engineer and a mixer, and he wanted to rent a studio in Midtown, and he obviously needed someone to kind of help supplement the rent. And I had a full-time job, and I thought, well, this is a good opportunity to share a space and have a dedicated place where I could go and make music and be creative outside of just sort of my 9-to-5 grind. And so we got a studio together, and it was one of the best things that I've ever done. I looked at it like, you know, just as sort of an extracurricular that a lot of people do. Like, I had friends who were like, you know, would play dodgeball at night, or would have like a volleyball league, or like even in the summer they would have a house out in Montauk or the Hamptons that they would pay for. I just looked at it as something like that, just an outlet to do something interesting and unique, and it was great. And I kept at it, and And it allowed me to develop my music and songwriting and production.
And is the 9-to-5 gone now? I imagine if you were touring the 9-to-5, you had to kind of quit the 9-to-5 gig.
Well, the 9-to-5 wasn't so much a 9-to-5. It was like a 7-to-7, 12-hour day. I worked in finance. And yes, luckily I've been able to leave that situation and focus on music full time.
Okay, now I have real management. Now we're actually doing this, and it's not dodgeball anymore.
Once I started consistently making music and putting out music under my own name, and people were responding to it, I definitely initially was working with one or two people, sort of helping me, sort of like, you know, ostensibly being managers, but not really. Working with a guy named Aiden Rush up in Boston, who's just a really smart guy, recently like graduated from college. And he was just helping me with some of the promotion and getting gigs. And he knew Seth. I guess they had met at South by Southwest. And he said, you know, I'm working with this guy, Peter Kirk. Do you know anyone who could potentially book him in New York City? We had sent stuff out to like all the clubs, never heard anything. Sent music to blogs, never got anyone to play a lick of our music, lick of my music. And then Seth, I guess it sort of like just clicked on it, thinking like, oh, Peter Kirk's probably some sort of like generic white like singer-songwritery dude. But I guess by just like mere chance happened to actually give it a listen and thought like, what exactly is this? Because what he heard was a much more sort of, you know, colorful produced sound. And I think he had sent it over to Derek Davies, who runs Neon Gold, and said like, hey, check this out. And they were both like floored by it. And then Seth just called me up and said, you know, look, he was very direct, you know, he's a very aggressive guy, but he's a really great guy. And he clearly had a track record already. And we started just working together and kind of bouncing around ideas about, you know, how we could escalate my music at the time, and we've been working ever since, and it's just been a great ride so far.
So where did Glassnote come into the picture? The amazing thing about Glassnote, they are all about taking the time to develop an artist. So is there an interesting tale of how the connection with Glassnote happened?
Yeah, I think, well, we had an unusual amount of buzz for the song All the People. So we obviously had a lot of attention from a bunch of different industry folks. But specific to Glassnote, it was sort of a confluence of different factors, but mainly it was the people who I was already working with. Andrew Morey, who did Front of a House. Yeah, Andrew Morey from RAC, who did Front of House for Givers, a Glassnote artist. Then we had our agents like Hoodoo Phoenix and Two Door Cinema Club, who were like already talking about us to a lot of people. And then we had like lawyers who, you know, work with like churches and stuff. There's just all these people who are sort of involved with us who are also involved with Glassnote. And I think the name Panama Wedding just started coming up from a lot of different people. And they were like, well, who are these guys? What is this? And then they heard more and we came in for a meeting and we met a few times and they were great. And then we went through CMJ and had some successful shows and, you know, then it was there. And we met with a lot of, and I always say this, we met with so many different labels. Some people who were great and really interesting to talk to, but Glassnote was like by far the most warm, just smart people that we met. There's just a certain vibe in their office that we didn't see anywhere else. A lot of just young, really aggressive people who really are just fans of music, and they believed in the music, and we could tell that, and that was it. And we signed, I think, in November, and it's been great ever since.
Not too bad, touring with St. Lucia, touring with Dan Kroll, the guy who's right next door making a lot of noise, which you can hear him. Cut it out, Dan, for crying out loud. So this is kind of a pretty rapid progression, isn't it?
So I think on the surface, there's a perception that things are moving very rapidly. You know, you go from playing small clubs like Pianos mm-hmm. in New York City to, you know, opening up for RAC at Webster Hall in front of 1,500 people. That, you know, that in and of itself looks like a rapid sort of ascent. But I mean, you know, everything that I've accomplished and everything that goes into these songs is the result of many years of hard work and sort of working on, you know, production and songwriting. But yeah, it's incredibly exciting. It's surreal. And, you know, I try not to think about it too much and just try to take each night at, you know, each night at a time and play our best shows. But yeah, we've been incredibly lucky to get to play some of these shows. And hopefully this summer, we've already got a few things lined up, which are very exciting, but we're working on some more stuff. One of the sort of greatest hallmarks of Glassnote is that all of their artists unanimously are amazing live. And that's not always true at other labels. And you could be buzzy all you want. You could be an interesting story online, but like at the end of the day, you have to be amazing live, and your songs fundamentally have to be amazing. And that is sort of our North Star right now. We are incredibly humbled to be shared on the same webpage with Half Moon Run, to be shared on the same page with Mumford & Sons, Givers, just bands that just are unbelievable. So yeah, it is exciting to have all the buzz and all that, but we're really focused on the live show and the songs.
So what I've done is I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs as the bread, and then songs by other artists in between.